For he knew who was to betray him. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were written at different times, in different places, intended for different audiences. They all have a distinctive way of describing Jesus' ministry. But when it comes to Judas, every single one of them use the exact same verb: betray. They could have used other words: deceive, let down, disappoint, double cross. But they didn't. The verb betray is carefully and deliberately referenced every single time, as if it were a litany or a creed. Even Paul uses the identical word when he writes to the Corinthians. And this is years before any of the Gospels are even written down. Paul says the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Think of all the other ways Paul could have described this night. On the night of the Passover meal, on the night of Jesus' arrest, on the night that every single disciple scattered. So much that happened on this infamous night long ago could have been referenced in different ways. So why such similar language about Judas's betrayal? Does he bear all of the blame? What about the Roman soldiers and the religious leaders who came with torches in the night to arrest Jesus? What about Pilate, who handed down the final death sentence? What about the crowds who ferociously chanted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Why was the early church so set on this very precise, very particular language of betrayal? Judas turned his back on his teacher, his mentor, his Lord, for a little extra cash and the promise of immunity. Judas's act is powerful throughout the ages because it represents the ways that we all betray Jesus. When we choose personal comfort over compassion, safety over sacrifice, financial security over faithful service. If we can't see Judas in ourselves, then we're not being completely honest. The language of betrayal is essential, not because of what it reveals about Judas. Judas isn't that different from the rest of us. The language of betrayal is essential because of what it reveals about Jesus. From the beginning, Jesus knows that his friend Judas will betray him. Yet still he includes him in the inner circle. He teaches him about the kingdom of God through parables and sermons. Judas gets a front row seat so that he can witness firsthand the miracles and the healings. The mysteries of God are handed down to Judas, just like they are to all the other disciples. Jesus invites Judas to that upper room to share the Passover meal. Jesus includes him in the holy ritual of communion that will be passed down for centuries. On the night he was betrayed, we learn so much about Jesus. We glimpse his remarkable hospitality as he freely welcomes the one he knows will hurt him. We watch with amazement as Jesus treats Judas, the one who should be his sworn enemy, with the same love and devotion that he shows everyone else. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus had the courage to be Jesus. Anger and hostility had no power over him. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus gazed into the eyes of his betrayer and said, "This is the bread of heaven for you." On the night he was betrayed, Jesus lifted the cup to Judas's lips and said, "Taste, so that you will never thirst." On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus knelt down at Judas's feet and he poured out water. And he took Judas's rough, tired feet into his hands and he washed them and he dried them with such tender care, because that's who Jesus is. That's who our God is. Let us never forget this. Let us always remember. Amen.